2 Kings chapter 7, the brother McFarlane read from, I think, verse 4 or 5 down to verse 7. It is the text around which our study will revolve, and if you choose to title the lesson, you may title it The Blessings and the Demand and Responsibility of Possessing God's Good News. The blessing and the demand and responsibility placed upon one, anyone who has God's good news. But the lesson which will revolve around verse 7 will not be discussed this morning. This morning's lesson is really, should I call it an introduction or a preparation for the lesson next week, where we will in fact look at verse 7. But leading up to the truth that is stated in verse 7, it is my feeling that we will better appreciate when we come next week to verse 7 and some surrounding verse of chapter 7, verse 9, if we see some of the activities of God and God's people and the ungodly people that led up to this great divine truth that is stated in verse 7. It is interesting too to notice when the brother read this morning the dilemma of the lepers. They said, if we do this, it is death. If we do this, it is death. And if we do this, it is death. They decided to choose the lesser of all the evils that confront them. In fact, these were men who were sentenced to death. But we will get into that more next week. As I said, I feel that the background leading up to the acknowledgement of verse 7 will be of benefit and blessings to us. The Gentile nations who did not know or believe in the true God were generally bitter enemies of God's people, Israel. Mark you, there are times when in the ancient world there were some Gentiles who, for a period, got along with the Israelites. But generally, the Gentile hated God's people. And in some ways, the world in which we live today, I said in some ways, is no less so. So the Gentile nation hated the Israelite bitterly. The time or the historical setting of this period or of the lesson, that is the time of Elijah and Elisha, was about 850 years before Jesus Christ. At this time, the Syrian nation, they were powerful. They dominated God's people, the Israelites. They were strong, and they were like thorns in the flesh of the Israelite God's people. They were Israel antagonists. They antagonized the Israelites. In fact, if you look at chapter 5, verse 2, and verse 6 and 7, it will give you a little hint. Chapter 5, verse 2, verse 6 and 7. Just a little hint. Read.
And the Syrians had gone out by companies.
Start again.
And the Syrians had gone out by companies.
And the Syrians had gone out by companies.
And had brought away captives out of the land of Israel.
They had brought away, that is, they took slaves from Israel.
A little maid.
That is verse 2. Step down to verse 6 and 7.
And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, mm-hmm. Now when this letter is come unto thee,
mm-hmm.
behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee,
mm-hmm.
that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.
You notice this. You need to get this. The king of Syria didn't know the king of Israel to be a doctor or a healer. But in desperation, the king of Syria sent Naaman to the king of Israel and said, heal him. That's mischievous. That's wicked. Of course, you can look and see the panic of the Israelite king. He felt that the Egyptian king, the Syrian king, was seeking a war, wanted to be mischievous. This tells us the situation of Israel and the Syrian then. Because Syria was so powerful, the Syrian king felt he could make unreasonable demand on God's people. That was verse 6 and 7, or just verse 6?
Just verse 6.
Read.
And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God?
His clothes and said,
Am I God?
Am I God?
To kill and to make alive.
To kill and to make alive. Because this is exactly what the demand of the Syrian king implied. Read.
That this man does send to me to recover a man of his leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seek a quarrel against me.
That's right. Of course, the king of Syria wasn't seeking a quarrel. He really was in desperation, wanted his warlord to be healed. And in that way, he made unreasonable and just demand on the king of Israel, because he knew that at that time, Syria dominated God's people. And somebody said, how could that be, Brother Mitchell? Because the Almighty God permitted it then. And probably, I'll touch more on that next week. When God permitted something like that, God has good reason. Among the truth in this text that we have just read, among the truth that is timely and relevant to us now, today, at this moment, is that God reveal His will and His purpose to His own people. That is, we are going to ask that you read. Remember, the lesson next week will base on chapter 7. So what we are doing now is looking on chapter 6 to get a background to some of the happenings in chapter 7 that we will deal with next week. Now, so as I say, that among the truth in this text, that is, it is timely and it is relevant to us, is that God reveal His will and His purpose to His own. And that the Almighty God provide protection for His own against those who would plot against God's people in whatever form that plotting takes. God provide protection for His own. And somebody said, Brother Mitchell, we don't see nothing like that in the text. But first, that God reveal His will and purpose to His own. Amos chapter 3 verse 7. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 4 and 5. Let us hear those two passages.
Amos chapter 3 verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants the prophets.
Did you get that? Surely the Almighty God will do nothing. That is, things that pertaineth God's people, where God knows that it is important that His people be enlightened, God going to enlighten His people. And that is the fact. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4 and 5.
Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
Paul said to the church at Ephesus that when you read this letter that I'm writing to you, I hope and want you to understand my knowledge in the mystery of God. That is, things which had been kept secret by God, but God has now revealed it. But to whom has He revealed it? Read, brother.
When which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men.
There are some things that throughout the hundreds of thousands or millions of years that the earth has been in existence, there are some things that God kept to Himself. It wasn't revealed to anyone. And when He did reveal it, notice to whom?
As it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets.
You notice to whom? His holy apostles and prophets. What is the point? That God revealed His will and His purpose to His own. And that God provides protection and safety for His people as He sees the need, and those who plot against His people. Notice the Syrians plotting against Israel and Israel's king. Verse 8 to verse 12, brother. A 2 Kings chapter 6.
2 Kings chapter 6. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel.
Then the king of Syria warred against Israel.
to quarrel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God...
Start again. You're at the right passage.
Then the king of Syria warred against Israel.
The king of Syria warred against Israel.
And took counsel with Israel.
Notice, it was not Israel who warred against Syria. Now, it's important. Even though we may say it's just spinning the expression around, no, not in this concept. What you have here, it is stating that Syria was the aggressor against God's people. Read, brother.
And took counsel with his servants, saying...
And took counsel with his servants. Now, the Syrian king is telling his advisors how he's going to set trap for Israel. Read.
In such and such a place shall be my camp.
Mm-hmm.
And the man of God...
Wait. I'm going to... setting up some trap that myself and my soldier hide. So that when Israel and the Israel king pass by, we will start to just capture them. Read.
And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place.
You see what I see? Remember, the leader, the king of Israel, didn't know that Syria was plotting against him. God knew. And God revealed to his prophet Elisha what the evil and wicked plan of the Syrian was. Well, what did it say about the man of God, brother?
The man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place.
Don't, as you go about your royal business, don't go at certain street. Read.
For thither the Syrians are come down.
The Syrians are there we're lating you. Read.
And the king of Israel sent to the man which the man of God told him and warned him off.
Mm-hmm.
And saved himself there.
Mm-hmm.
Not once nor twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled.
When the king of Syria set up his trap, the king of Israel and his people, they were nowhere to be found there. So the king of Syria got mad. Disappointed. Read, brother.
And he called his servants and said unto them,
mm-hmm.
Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?
You get the point? He called his Syrian, fellow Syrian servants, and said, will you not tell me which of you Syrian are for the king of Israel? In other words, some of you must be working for Israel. Read on.
And one of his servants said, none, my lord.
None of us is working for Israel. Read.
O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel.
But Elisha, it's not any of us, the Syrian. It's the prophet in Israel called Elisha. That was God's spokesman. But something interesting here, I find this interesting. Because, you know, in Brother Brown's prayer this morning, Clive, in the prayer, acknowledged the greatness of God's power. And we need always to be mindful of that. You know, watch here, read.
The prophet that is in Israel.
The prophet that is in Israel. Read.
Tell us the king of Israel the words that thou speakest.
in thy bedchamber.
You get the point? The servant of the king of Syria said, that prophet in Israel, Elisha, tell the king of Israel whatever you say in your bedroom. The king of Israel knows about it. Because the man of God, Elisha, is telling it. No, my God. If you don't, if anything you whisper, speak in your bedroom, somebody's getting it, then you are in a terrible dilemma. But that is telling us of God's power. And I stated that the Almighty God reveals His will and purpose to His own. And that the Almighty God provides protection and guidance for His people against those that would plot against God's people. May I say, brothers and sisters, God might not be working the same way or using the same method now, but God is still working to protect His people today. That's right. He might not be doing it miraculously, but the Almighty God is still working providentially to provide protection and guidance for His people. You see, I love that whatever you, King of Syria, is discussing in your bedroom, the prophet of Israel is sharing it with the King of Israel. Read on. What verse you are, brother?
Verse 13.
You may stop there. May I? Sooner or later, God will confound and perplex world wise men and women who have no respect and regard for the will and purpose of God. I need to repeat that. Sooner or later, the Almighty God will confound and perplex worldly wise men and women who have no regard and respect for God's will and purpose, because the king of Syria was confounded when he realized that whatever he was discussing in his bedroom, God's prophet was well aware of it. Not only that, in fact, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 and 29. Let us hear it.
But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Stop there, brother. To do what?
Confound the wise.
You know what wise here is? The worldly wise men and women. Sooner or later, when we live without God and think we are so wise, the Almighty God will use the things we trust in to confound us. That's right. And I'm talking, God is working like that today. Read on, brother.
And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
Wait. You know what that means, brother? The things that the world look on as nothing. Christianity, God's truth, the church, God's plan of salvation, simple worship. The world brushes that one side. But the Almighty God is using that to confound and perplex men and women who have no respect for God's method and purpose and will. Read, brother.
And base things of the world.
The base thing, that is the low things of the world.
And things which are despised.
The things that men do not have much regard for.
Hath God chosen.
Those are the things that God chose.
Yea.
Yea.
And things which are not.
And things which are not.
To bring to naught.
To bring to nothing.
Things that are.
The things that are. What verse is that?
Verse 28.
28. Let us hear 29.
That no flesh should glory in his presence.
Y'all hear that? We as Christians should remember that. We must make sure that we do not glory in the wrong things. We must make sure that we give God all the honor and the glory that he deserves. We must make sure that we put emphasis where the Almighty God places emphasis. But not only that, sooner or later God will confound and confuse the worldly wise men and women. The true responsible, that is the second thing that we should be mindful in the context and the consideration here. The true responsible child of God is placed here to teach men and women of their danger. Verse 9 of 2 Kings chapter 7.
And it reads, "Then they said one to another, 'We do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace.'"
Rather, chapter 6, I think I need, brother.
Chapter 6, verse 9. "And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that thou pass not such a place.'"
May I? Christian, did you know that that is part of our responsibility here? You notice the word beware? Every one of us here who would want the name Christian to be placed on us, we are here to help the ungodly understand that they are in danger. We are here to help them to understand that they are to beware and to take steps in Jesus Christ to protect themselves. Beware. That is part of our responsibility. To help men and women who are lost in sin to understand that they are in danger. Look at the passage of Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 7 through 9. Quick. Ezekiel 33, 7 through 9.
"So though, O son of man,
mm-hmm.
I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, thou shalt hear the word of at my mouth.
You shall hear the words of my mouth.
And warn them.
You shall warn the Israelites.
From me.
Read.
When I say unto the wicked.
When I say to the wicked or the ungodly.
O wicked man. Thou shalt surely die.
You are going to die. That is your wickedness going to bring destruction on you.
If thou dost not speak to warn.
Those of us who are blessed with God's truth should give warning. Read, brother.
To warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity.
In his wickedness or iniquity.
But his blood
will be upon your head. Wait, Brother Mitchell, that was the people in the time of Ezekiel, Daniel, rather Ezekiel. Brothers and sisters, the truth just expressed there is as relevant now, especially now, as it was then. That's right. The Almighty God going to hold you and me responsible for the souls of men and women that we deal with morning, noon and night, day in, day out, and we have never showed them that Jesus Christ is the way. Brother, read that verse again.
"When I say unto the wicked,
mm-hmm.
O wicked man,
mm-hmm.
thou shalt surely die.
Mm-hmm.
If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked man from
his
way."
If you do not speak to warn, remember where we are coming from, that part of Elisha's duty was to show the Israelite and the king of Israel their danger. We have that responsibility today. And there are consequences when we fail to live up to that responsibility. The passage the brother is reading, taken from the book of Ezekiel chapter 33, is on that very point. Read, brother.
That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand.
Read on.
Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity.
May I? When you and I help men and women to understand that Jesus Christ died for them, when you and I help men and women to understand that Jesus Christ has a plan of salvation that all men and women must submit themselves to, when we do that, we have placed the ball in their court. They now have the responsibility to decide whether or not they will respond to Jesus Christ. God's children can learn from this text not to easily and quickly give up, lose faith, or become hopeless. Let me repeat from the text under consideration. In the passage of 2 Kings chapter 5, God's people today, the Christian, can learn not to easily give up, not to lose faith, not to become hopeless, whatever the challenges might be. Look at verse 13 through 15. Quick, brother.
2 Kings chapter 5.
Chapter 6.
Chapter 6, verse 13. And he said,
15.
And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying,
this is the king of Syria now sent his army to catch one little old prophet, Elisha. Said, go and catch him. Read, brother.
And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan.
Yes. You see, the king of Syria had spies. They knew exactly where Elisha was. Read, brother.
Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host.
You hear that? One godly little man was sent horses and chariot and a great host. Read.
And they came by night and compassed the city about.
They surround not just Elisha's house, but the entire city. They are going to make sure that the man do not escape. If this man is telling the king of Israel what that was going on in the bedroom of the king of Syria, you can understand how desperate the king of Syria was to get rid of Elisha. You know, today, when you preach the truth, and that is in respect to any true child of God, brother or sister, you sometimes have people dying to get rid of you. It suits Satan. That's right. I remember when we were purchasing this property, and we got news that one of our adjacent neighbor, I think he's the previous owner to this place or the other house, when he heard that it would be a church, he took every necessary step to hinder us from getting the property and from having a church here. At that time, of course, we had applied for change of use from residential to commercial. We had already gotten that from the KCC. But he wasn't satisfied. What I did, I went and I spoke to him personally and I said, if you are afraid that we are going to, as a church, be disturbing to you, I said, attend one of our services. At that time, we were at Wright Crescent in one of the Duane Park houses, and I invited, I said, just pop up at any service time and see how we conduct service. But he didn't want that. His goal and objective was to make sure that no church is put here. But you see, when God wants something, there is no power on earth that can stop it. So this king of Syria was bent on getting rid of Elisha. Read.
And when the servant of the man of God...
Remember, they surround the entire city where Elisha was. When the servant of Elisha, the man of God,
was risen early,
got up early,
and gone forth,
and went forth,
behold, as hosts compassed the city,
when the servant of Elisha looked, he saw that the entire city was surrounded with Syrian soldiers, the army of Syria. Read, brother.
Both with horses and chariots.
Horses and chariots.
And his servant said unto him.
And the servant of Elisha said to Elisha.
Alas.
Alas.
My master.
My master.
How shall we do?
What shall we do? But you know, the Almighty God always gives direction to his people to do the right thing when they do not know what to do. Always, what shall we do? That is a question of fear. It is a question of hopelessness. It is a question of despair. What shall we do? Read, brother.
And he answered.
Elisha answered.
Fear not.
Fear not. You know, many of you remember that there was a lesson I preached for every month or whenever I go. Where the term is used so many places in the Bible, Old and New Testament, fear not. That is one of the encouraging utterance from the Almighty God to his people throughout the ages. Fear not. And today, there's so much that brings fear at times in us. We need to remember these words from the Almighty God. Fear not. Read on, brother.
For they that be with us.
Oh my God.
Are more than they that be with them.
Isn't that wonderful? Did you hear it? They that be with us are more than they that be with them. May we look at these words for a few minutes. The words of Elisha's servant are stated in verse 15 are words of fear and hopelessness. Elisha's servant was blind. Brother Mitchell, there's nothing there that state that. Yes, there's something there that state that. His eyes were blind or closed to the power and the providence and the presence of the Almighty God. Like so many men and women today who do not know God, the Bible tells us that the God of this world has blinded their eyes. A lot of times, that's why many ungodly men and women, you and I are trying to reach, cannot see plain truth because Satan blind their eyes. Brothers and sisters, may I? Our physical eyes, our physical eyes can see only so much. This is important for us to understand. But living by faith, the Bible says we walk by. When the Bible says we walk by, it doesn't necessarily mean, no, it means we live by faith. That's what the word we walk by faith really means. We live by faith, not by sight. That is, we do not go live our life simply by what our physical, biological eyes brings to our intellect. Our faith gives us a greater world. In the working, in the power, in the providence, in the presence of God, our faith. If you depend on your physical eyes to see God, you fail already. If you depend on your physical eyes to understand God, you fail already. It is our faith, our belief in Him, that does the trick. Are we there? It opens our mind, that is, our faith opens our mind's eyes to the unlimited possibility and the unlimited resources that are at our disposal. Our faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. They are divine truth. They are divine facts. They are divine realities. They are divine working of the Almighty God that the physical eyes can never see. And verse 17 in the passage reveals this. Let us hear it.
And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes.
Brother McFarlane, because his eyes were closed. That's right. His eyes were closed. And a lot of times, even as Christians, our eyes are closed. The eyes of faith and trust. Many times the word of God does not dwell in us richly. And times when the word of God should provide guidance and encouragement and strength and courage for us, because the word of God does not dwell in us richly, we fail. The man of God prayed that his servant's eyes would be open. Like the Syrian who surrounded the city, the servant of Elisha's eyes were closed. Remember, the Syrian eyes were also closed. But so was the servant of Elisha. Verse 17, brother, what he said?
And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see.
Isn't it wonderful? The man, the woman of God. Because naturally here, Elisha's eyes had been opened. And I think some of that coming up next week, that he was in no hassle. The enemy, the Gentile army surround the city. Elisha was at ease. What a blessing when you really believe in God and know that He will be there for you. You know. Elijah prayed that his eyes may open. Read, brother.
And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man.
God opened the eyes of the young man.
And he saw.
And he saw.
And behold.
And behold.
The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah.
Woo! These were not ordinary chariots. They were chariots of fire. You know, brothers and sisters, it reminds me of when when they come to take Jesus Christ, and poor Peter, probably I would act like that too. You know, when Peter saw that they want to take Jesus Christ, and in spite of whatever you may say about Peter, Peter had conviction. Peter was sincere. And he drew his sword and used it. Of course, it seems his target was missed. Because the only way you don't chop at a man's ears, you are going for the neck. You see. But Jesus Christ said, put up your sword. Jesus Christ said, I can call a legion of angels. You see. So Jesus Christ was like a lamb to the slaughter. He wasn't fighting against them because he had resources that they could not even imagine. And you and I have resources that we cannot imagine, but a lot of time our faith fails us. When the servant of Elijah's eyes were open, he saw chariots of fire. The mountains were filled, scattered with divine soldiers. Anything else, dear brother?
And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness.
The man had power. Elijah had power. When they came down, that is the enemies, the Gentiles, enemies of God's people came down. Elijah, of course, you and I today would not ask that they be struck with blindness. We would ask that God gives us the power to bring them to the truth. So you don't go now praying for God to blind those who are doing you wrong. You see, we must pray that God will give us the wisdom to bring them to God's truth. Yes, in faith and trust, fear and panic disappear. Because that's what we see in Elijah. That with his faith and trust, there was no need for Elijah to panic. The truth of verse 16. Let us hear verse 16 again as we wrap up.
And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
Brother, read that again.
And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
May I? There are three passages I'm going to read now, because this truth that has just been stated in verse 16, it is relevant and timely today. The truth the brother has just read is as truthful now as it was then. You see, we get caught up with numbers. We get caught up with plenty. The truth stated here, it is an everlasting truth. The truth just stated here is forever so. And it is found in some three or four passages. Now, brother, read that one again, found in 2 Kings chapter 6, that you have just been read, verse 16.
And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
Then now you turn to 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7. Then somebody has turned to Psalms 55 and verse 18. Then somebody has turned to the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. All these passages are expressing that same truth. Wait. We are going to close with these few passages. Remember what is under consideration here. When Elijah's servant looked around, every quarter as he looked around the city, he saw thousands of Syrian soldiers and chariots. He said, "Alas, what shall we do?" In other words, our situation is hopeless. When his eyes were opened, the Almighty God helped him to see divine help that he never imagined existed. And I'm saying that is a message for us. Don't always go by what the physical, the biological eye sees. Because a lot of God's working is done behind the scenes. The truth we have read there in verse 16 is stated in 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 7. Read.
Be strong and courageous.
Mm-hmm.
Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria.
Mm-hmm.
Nor for all the multitude that is with him.
Mm-hmm.
For there be more with us than with him.
You all hear that? Mm-hmm. Listen it in Psalms 55 verse 18.
I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest.
Mm-hmm.
Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen...
Stop.
Psalms.
Read that again.
Psalm 55,
Psalms.
Verse 18.
Psalm 55, 18.
He hath delivered my soul.
He hath delivered my soul.
From the battle that was against me.
From the battle that was against me. David was fighting some of the same Gentiles. Enemies, they might not be Syria, but they were Gentiles. Read, brother.
For there were many with me.
There were many with me.
That's 18.
He
hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me.
Mm-hmm.
For there were many with me.
There were many. It is expressing the same truth. In other words, there were more with me than those who are trying to destroy me. Then listen the same truth in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4.
Ye are of God.
We are of God.
Little children.
Little children.
And have overcome them.
Mm-hmm.
Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Christian, don't forget this.
Amen.
Always. When Elijah expressed in verse 16, some 850 years before Christ, that they that were with him, Elijah and his servant, outnumbered vastly those that were with the Syrian. And I'm not sure, I may touch on that tonight, because there's so much listening this to teach us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. It's not just in quantity. There's about three or four ways in which they that were with Elisha were more than they that were with the Syrian. It's not just in quantity, but we see that truth expressed in Chronicles. We see that truth expressed in Psalms. And now we have seen it expressed in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Christian, don't forget this. And as I close, may I encourage Christians and visitors, we do well and wisely to get on God's side now. We do well. And we do wisely to get on God's side now. Too many men and women expect God to be on their side when danger and trouble come, but they never take step to be on God's side. Too many of us, we call on God and expect God to come running when problem and trouble come our way. But it has never come to the mind of these people that they need to cast their lot with Jesus Christ. So I'm saying, get on God's side now. Brother, I'd like to give brother just this one passage to Proverbs 1, 24, 29. Quick.
Because I have called. And he refused.
Don't refuse when God calls. Please.
I have stretched.
Wait. In this message, God is calling you if you are not a Christian. In this message, God is calling you if you are a weak, backsliding, wishy-washy Christian. God is calling you. Respond to his call. Please. Read. Because I have called.
And he refused.
And you refuse.
I have stretched out my hand.
I have stretched out my hand.
And no man regarded.
And you did not regard God's appeal.
But ye have set at naught my counsel.
You sought to ignore what God is saying to you through his word, his lesson, his preaching.
And would none of my reproof.
You did not accept God's guidance.
I will also laugh at your calamity.
You notice, Brother McFarlane, not that I will laugh if your calamity comes. You see, the Almighty God is assuming there that it's going to come. I will laugh when?
At your calamity.
At your calamity. Read now.
I will mock. When your fear cometh.
It's not if it comes, you know, brother. It's when it comes. That means it's going to come. Mm-hmm. And God says, because you have ignored my word, my appeal, my stretch out arms inviting you to salvation, and you did not pay any attention, when your calamity and day of trouble come, God says, I will laugh. Read.
When your fear cometh as desolation.
Not if your fear comes, it's going to come. Read.
And when your destruction cometh.
Not
as a whirlwind.
If it comes, it's going to come.
When distress and anguish cometh upon you.
Not if distress and anguish come, it's going to come.
Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me.
You may stop there, brother. If you are here today, you are not a child of God. In this message, the Almighty God is calling you. If you are here today and you are a child of God who is playing game with him, you ignore his word, you ignore his warning, you believe you have all the time in the world, the Almighty God is saying to all of us, we do not have all the time in the world to do right and to be right. He gives us now. The brother going to come and sing a song to God's glory and honor. We always remind you that it is a good time for you to step forward and respond to Jesus' invitation of love.